Welcome to Two Joes and a Show with Joe Hazen and Joe Massera.
What is up, world? We are back for a very special episode number 20 of Two Joes and a Show. And we have a special guest with us, one of my great friends. Played football with him in college and just a really good person. He's one that did our logo. He was the one that was over doing the documentary for, where was that, Rob?
That was in Kyiv, Ukraine.
Yeah, in Ukraine. So without any further ado, Rob Gillen, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, you wanna say something?
Yeah, hi, guys. Thank you for having me on this podcast. Been a big fan, big supporter, and I'm pretty excited to be part of it now.
All right.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. Now, we should let you guys know that about a week and a half ago when the whole LeBron situation went down, we recorded one of the best podcasts that we ever have.
Yeah.
Like, with one of Joe's really good friends named Pat from Cleveland, and it was just a great episode.
It was all Cleveland sports. It was amazing.
It was all Cleveland sports. Like, literally an hour of Cleveland sports.
It was like what does LeBron James, like, mean to a Clevelander? And it was just really – it was great. And I'm probably going to – like, I'm sure we'll probably discuss some LeBron James sometimes this episode because it's just bound to happen and it always happens.
Yeah.
And I'll quote Pat because he had a lot of really great points too.
Yep. And he just really genuine with what he was saying. And it, like you said, from a Clevelander, and like he grew up there. So it was very like he lived through all of this. I mean,
yes,
as many Cleveland sports fans have. And it was just very cool to hear. But we had technical difficulties, but we're back now. And we brought another guest, Rob, episode number 20. We'd like to start bringing
take
some
two,
more guests on. Yeah, episode 20, take two. But let's actually lead off with some Ray Rice talk. Joe, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, so this has happened, a few months ago now, when Ray Rice, running back for Baltimore Ravens.
Rutgers alum.
Rutgers alumni. he was at Revel Casino in Atlantic City, and there was a very short video surveillance came up with him, of him dragging his unconscious fiance, now wife, actually, out of the elevator in the hotel room, as caught on video. And obviously it looks bad because she looks dead. and it was a really, really big ordeal. And right. So everyone thought when it happened was, oh, Rice is not only going to get, like, suspended from the league for a long time, but he's going to get jail time and everything.
Right.
But what happened, what down was, so Ray Rice went to Commissioner Goodell with his fiance, and apparently what happened in that meeting room was that Ray Rice's fiance was saying that what was not released on the public video, but what's on the Revel's private security surveillance video, was that she was instigating it a lot, and she was, like, you know, yelling at him and calling him names, and then which made him punch her in the back of the head. And that's what happened. Apparently, since Ray Rice is, you know, it was his first offense or anything like this, and that he's a, you know, a good player, you know, he's a star player, and that that's why he only got two games. And obviously now, because it's caused an uproar because he beat the hell out of his wife and he was only getting two games.
Yeah.
So and that's where we're at right now. The controversy and the fallout after that.
And a lot of people have been complaining and just comparing it to, well, if you smoke weed or do steroids, that's a 4-game suspension, first offense.
Yeah.
So they're saying,
if you take Adderall, it's a 4-game suspension.
Right. Just ask Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I mean, so people start comparing, but the thing that I think is important to mention here is that, well, first off, Roger Goodell is very, if you go in there and tell the truth, I think he is much more lenient than if you go in there and lie. Michael Vick with the dog fighting ring, he went in and he lied about it. Now, do you even remember how long his suspension was? I mean, he went to jail.
Yeah.
He went to jail, but there was other stuff on top of that. Now, Roethlisberger was accused of rape. He had two men stand outside the door while he was inside with a woman, and he only got, I think, 4 games. And, I mean, but Roethlisberger went in there, and sources say that he told the truth when he went in. I think Ray Rice probably did the same thing. Don't get me wrong. I think two games is way too little for this. I'm just saying I think that's what happened. I think having the fiancé there helped a lot. Rob, what's your take?
But what's my thought? You said he likes telling the truth. How do you think that Ray Rice told her to say all that stuff? Because neither of them really benefit from him being suspended, because that's
absolutely right.
He's losing money. She's not getting a new fur coat, you know? So
that's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
no, I agree. Like, what would she gain by going in there and being like, yeah, he beat the shit out of me?
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Like, it, as assuming, right. And they got married, like, at the time that he beat her, they were engaged.
It was
engaged,
very close,
right?
Around that time, yeah.
And then, they got married, like, I want to say a week or two later.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like 3 months ago, and they're only engaged then, and they're since been married, so it's been pretty recent. But, Rob, I think you actually hit the nail on the head. I mean, her saying, telling the truth, that nothing good transpires out of that, whether it's between their relationship or financially. Like, Ray Rice hit for a salary, he loses $250,000 per game he's suspended. So, yeah. So he's missing out on $500,000 this year already. Why miss out on any more? There's really no reason for her to just tell the truth and say, yeah, like, he kicked the crap out of me and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Just go around along with the lie.
Yeah, and, no. And as far as – so, Joe, I'll ask both of you. If it was up to you, how many games do you give Ray Rice?
Eight games. At least, yeah.
I was gonna say six, because it was a first time offense. But Rob, what's your take?
I mean, not knowing the whole situation, but just based on the video I saw alone, I'd be fine with a whole year.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I'd be okay with that too.
It's one of those things that, like, if it came out and I'm only surprised because it was so low. But if it was like some number that was really high, like 12 games or a whole season, that wouldn't really surprise me, because that's almost like what we expected. But another thing that I think is important to mention is people want to keep comparing it to drugs and marijuana, PEDs, all of that. Well, people don't necessarily realize that the suspensions for those offenses are all collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
Those are already settled on.
That's
so
right.
This is an individual case. Those drug charges and all of that, that's already bargained for. That is determined. That's just how it works. I don't necessarily think the four games for PEDs is like too low or too high. I think that this is just too low on Ray Rice. Because some people are saying, well, if he only gets two games, then maybe you should only get a half for smoking weed. I don't think that's the case. I think the drugs are where they should be at four games. I just think Ray Rice was really underpunished, if that's even a word, in this scenario.
He punched his fiance in the back of the head and knocked her out cold.
Right. I'm with you.
And dragged her across the floor.
It looked like she was dead. It actually looked like she was dead.
The video was very, very disturbing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
I like Ray. Well, I liked Ray Rice. I mean, he's a Rutgers guy. I've been watching him play for years, and no one really thought he was going to do this well in the league. But he's been tearing it up. So really disappointing for me, and I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, do either of you guys know if there are any like charges filed, like? Outside of football?
Well, what happened is because the wife is going along with, the whole, like, not going along, like, allegedly going along with the whole, like, she started it and it was a big to-do. He's getting off really, really easy. It helps he's getting off easy because, he's a star NFL player.
Yeah, I feel like your average guy couldn't do that,
No, your average guy, he's going to jail for assault.
Right.
At the minimum.
They're bringing the hammer down on him because he punched her in the back of the head, and he is a very strong, not a tall man, but a strong man.
Yeah, he's built like a Coke machine. He's like just super wide, and like I don't know how anyone tackles him. You like that analogy, Rob?
Yeah, that's a top five.
he could put a lot of power behind his punches, and he hit a drunk girl in heels in the back of the head.
Yeah, no, never okay.
No, it's not.
Never
so,
ever.
So, I mean, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, you never put your hands on a woman like that. It was disgusting.
From that controversy, let's also, I think that's kind of a good segue into the whole Tony Dungy situation. Joe, do you want to elaborate on that, or Rob?
I could.
Go ahead.
I got it. I'll take it.
Yeah, he's the pro. Let the pro do it.
Pretty much the whole... I wouldn't say that. But as you know, the whole Michael Sam thing that Joe and I, we covered that to pretty good extent. We did a pretty good job ignoring it because, you know, people think it's a big story. But now it's brought back to life when Tony Dungy talked about he would not want someone like that on his team as a distraction and everything. And then everyone said, oh, God, you know, he doesn't want gays on the team or anything or something like that. But, you know, he made a valid point. It's a distraction.
It's absolutely a distraction.
And then, like, you know, later that day or the next day, he had to, like, you know, retract a statement saying Michael Sam absolutely does deserve a chance and blah, 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 and had to pretty much just backtrack. And now we have this whole controversy again.
But, I mean, I think Tony Dungy was just being honest. Like, if... Joe, we've said this before. If Jadeveon Clowney was gay, it wouldn't stop anyone from taking him.
No.
It's the fact that Michael Sam, a lot of people think he's just a marginal prospect. He might not even make the Rams team.
He should not make the Rams team.
I agree. That's one of the best defensive lines in all of the NFL. I think he's going to have a very hard time making it.
He's undersized and not fast enough.
And strong enough. And like 80% of his sacks came against really bad opponents. But anyway... Anyway,
we digress.
Like I said, it's not – when you start looking at risk versus reward, the reward isn't that great with Michael Sam. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might get a couple downs out of him a game, but you get this huge distraction. Now, how is Tony Dungy saying this any different than people not wanting to take Manziel because he's a partier?
Or Tim Tebow because he sucks.
Or Tim Tebow because the media circus that follows it.
And he's not a good player either.
Joe, we've covered this multiple times. but that's my take. He's just being honest. Like, what? Are you really going to say that Michael Sam isn't a distraction? Because that's a lie. Rob, what's your take?
It depends how you look at that because everyone knows Tony Dungy's faith is a big part of him. And so if he's saying that based on a religious standpoint or a football one, I think that's where people get iffy because, you know, you don't want people, you know, bringing their religion on the football field and things like that. But if it was strictly from, I think, a football standpoint, I don't really have much issue with it.
Right. And I don't think Dungy would have drafted Manziel. I just think players in general that bring controversy, he doesn't like. And I think that's fine. That's his philosophy and it works.
Yeah, Joe? I mean, it's like if he didn't say anything wrong, because I think, Joe, actually, we also talked about this earlier, that right after Michael Sam got drafted, that he was in talks with, I think it's Oxygen, Oprah's network. For a documentary.
Own. Oprah Winfrey Network, OWN, yeah.
Yeah, not Oxygen, OWN, whatever, same, tomato, tomato, same thing. And that's a distraction, because teams don't want, you know, teams hate having like Hard Knocks coming to their practice facilities.
Right, right. Like the NFL
Hard Knocks, they at least know football, kind of respect the boundaries of an NFL training camp. But if you have like these, you know, from Oprah's network coming in, who aren't familiar with covering sports, and they're all about doing a personal piece, they'll be all over the place, asking players really intimate questions about something they don't really want to talk about because they're worried about either getting better or making the squad, and you know that's a huge attraction because now you're taking time out of them, you know, playing football and honing their craft, and talking about some guy who's probably should not even have gotten drafted in the first place.
Right, I'm with you. And what happens, you know, all of a sudden they have a team get together, like something stupid can be blown up into this huge controversy. Say Sam Bradford has a barbecue at his house, and the defense doesn't get invited, right?
Yeah.
Or some players on the defense that he's close with get invited, but Michael Sam doesn't. Now all of a sudden, for a week, you have Sam Bradford answering questions about why Michael Sam wasn't invited to his barbecue. That's literally the point we're at in our media.
Yeah.
Like, that now Sam Bradford has to worry about this when he should be worried about winning games.
I'd be like, Sam Bradford hates gays. Something
like that. Right, yeah. Yeah, like, I just can't stand the way media twists things. Tony Dungy gave his honest opinion, and I think it's valid. It's the same reason Manziel has fallen to the Browns. I mean, it's just, in my mind, it's no different, because a distraction is a distraction. The difference is Manziel is a high ceiling, and Michael Sam's is pretty low.
He's a special teamer at best.
Michael Sam, yeah.
Yes.
Dude, I'm with you. You might, like I said, I think you might get a couple downs out of him when, like, the players are winded, but other than that, I just don't see it.
So if you owned a football team, you wouldn't have drafted him?
No.
No.
I wouldn't have.
Absolutely
even,
not.
Even looking at it as a businessman?
No.
No?
How would it help a business?
Well, would we be talking about the Rams if they didn't draft him, you know?
Right. But
They're in the spotlight now. Jersey sales probably for him. Probably, yeah. You know.
But I think it's like a different type of spotlight. Like, it's almost – now, Joe, we talked about this. If the Rams cut him – and which very well may happen because, like we said, he's not a standout player. Now all of a sudden, you have another huge controversy.
Oh, huge backlash, I bet.
Right. So, I mean, and like we said before, if Jadeveon Clowney was gay, I'd absolutely still draft him. It's the fact that his talent isn't where it should be for that big of a risk, in my mind.
No, and you're right. It's just like, if you keep Michael Sam on the roster, you know, he makes the final cut. I think between his level of play and the press he brings, he's like a net negative on the team.
Right, right. I agree.
Like, between, like, you know, his play does not make up for the press that he brings. Much like Tim Tebow, who did not play very well and brought a lot of press to the team.
Yeah,
just, it's a net negative.
8-3 isn't a very good record. You're right.
Having the worst QB rating of all time and not being able to throw.
Beating the Steelers in the playoffs on the road isn't very good.
On a very, very lucky play, and he hasn't anything
since. A lucky game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, Joe, where is Tim Tebow playing right now?
Nowhere.
For the SEC network. That's where he's playing for. He's out of the league.
Because it is a distraction with the media.
He's not good.
So why would you take – this is what I'm saying. So if – Tebow was winning games, and he's still not in the league because of the media. So why would you take Michael Sam as a defensive end in the seventh round?
Tim Tebow didn't get in. Tebow was out of the league because he can't play quarterback. Let's get that very clear. He can't play quarterback. He's not in the league because he can't play.
If there wasn't a media circus around Tim Tebow, he would be on a team right now.
If Tim Tebow played tight end, he'd be in the league.
Oh, stop it. All right, we need to stop talking about Tebow because we spend half our episodes on it.
Yeah, more and Tebow. He's out of the league, so who cares?
You keep bringing it up.
It's a good comparison.
Well, what I'm saying is, so Tebow, he's a quarterback, and so
Barely. If
you're going to take a risk, at least that's someone that is going to impact the game directly. Michael Sam is a defensive end. So, like you said, I think in the end it does end up being a net negative with the negative publicity, and now you're under a magnifying glass for the rest of the season.
Well, who's giving the negative publicity?
I think just that focus. The publicity isn't necessarily negative,
okay. But
I think something will happen. Like I used the barbecue example, it's just stupid stuff that's going to turn it into negative publicity.
But now they're viewed as like pioneers of the game, though, and you know.
Right.
And that's true, but I guess that this is probably just a matter of opinion, is that I think that the least amount of that players and especially coaches, they want as, you know, less amount of press as possible, because they don't want, because any kind of press, just, you know, whether it's good or bad, will just distract players from playing. And this, now there's going to be extra cameras and reporters at every single game for Michael Sam if he makes a squad.
Right.
And I don't think they want that. They want it to be as closed as it possibly can be. My opinion. I agree with that wrong. That's what I would think. If I were a coach, that's what I would want. And, you know, it's kind of the anti-Jerry Jones of any press is good press. But
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? They're not looking now. Well, they're not looking very good.
8-8
Yep, 8-8 another 16th, you know, overall pick again.
Yeah, just can't wait. I'm excited.
Just completely stagnant.
Oh my goodness.
Just, I mean, it's not wrong.
All right, now, I mean, we should probably talk about LeBron, even though we talked about him for an hour last podcast, like no one heard it. So,
yeah, sadly.
I mean, Joe or Rob, you guys take that one away.
All right, I mean, first, LeBron James, yeah, obviously, no, he's in Cleveland now. You know, he's going to probably enter training camp soon. You know, get the young squad ready. But the Cavs, now I think the story's evolved past the Kings coming home. And now it's, what do we do next? Because now they have a big decision. Do they keep Andrew Wiggins or they trade for Kevin Love?
I would trade Wiggins so fast for Kevin Love.
I would
too. Go ahead, Joe.
I would too. And
Rob, what say you?
Well, I mean, they weren't offering a straight up trade. It was like
no.
Eight guys, right. Like a washing machine and two tickets to France. It was like an insane deal that they had to do. So, I mean,
yeah.
Will you dismantle your whole team for Kevin Love?
I mean, I do love Kevin Love.
I mean, Kevin Love's 25 years old. People kind of say, think, oh, he's like a veteran. He's been in the league for years, but he's 25.
Right. He's got a beard. So
yeah.
He just looks older.
And he's been playing in Minnesota. So everyone thinks he's been there forever. But no, he's 25 years old. And I mean, the point, I want to bring up Pat's point that he brought up last week. I think it was really put the whole Wiggins Love argument on its head. He brought up the point, you know, he said, Pat's a big Cleveland fan. And Pat said he would not trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love because Andrew Wiggins has been hyped as the greatest prospect in basketball since LeBron James. And he was saying, and he thinks that focus should be switched from winning one championship, which is the kind of what most people have in Cleveland, to
the mentality
of not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, but that kind of mentality of building
a dynasty.
Something. A dynasty.
That was the word he used. He said, I want a dynasty. Like,
yeah,
I'm not worried about
Pat used, not LeBron.
Right. That was the word Pat used. He said, "I, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically, like, I'm not as much worried about the next 1 or 2 years. I'm worried about 5, 6, 10 years from now. Where is Cleveland?"
Yes. I thought that was a very, very literally during that conversation, and literally just, like, we're like, oh, well, that makes sense, too. And just kind of completely flipped everything on his head.
Right.
That being said, I still make the trade and get Kevin Love.
Well, the interesting thing is LeBron even said, like, I want to win one. I mean, I don't think he's going to stop at one if Cleveland gets one. But, like, he said, I want to get one for Cleveland. Like, this is bigger than basketball now. Like, LeBron is almost trading getting one ring for his hometown versus, like, maybe two or three with another team.
That's right. I mean,
so
I think
I thought that was interesting because it almost seems like LeBron is thinking, like, let's just get this town one. Know what I mean?
They need something.
Yeah, and they do. But Pat was saying, you know, he brought up a very good point. Like, can we all of a sudden become, like, be mentioned in the same breaths as, like, teams that are very well-respected in the league? Know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, can
not,
we get up
the,
there with
not
the
Lakers? Or Celtics. But
right,
like,
but, like, just getting up there where we're well-respected, well-run, like, people want to come to us even after LeBron leaves.
Yes.
Like, that's what he's thinking. And I thought that was very interesting.
It was. I mean, and because he wants to see his city, Cleveland, which, you know, is best known for its mishaps and, you know, the mistake by the lake and everything, to turn it around and, you know, be actually a happy place.
That's right. Rob, what's your take? Like, did you expect Cleveland? I mean, we kept hearing it, but I just thought it was wishful thinking, really. I thought he might go back to Cleveland in, like, 4 years, like, when he was done.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what were you thinking? Like, what was your thought process?
I never really took the Cleveland option seriously, just because
yeah.
I can remember the burning jerseys and that awful note that, you know, the owner left him. So,
yeah.
When that happened, but now I'm just thinking, you know, everyone, you know, before in Miami, he was trying to, like, win a ring for himself. And you could see him, you know, under that pressure. And now he's put a whole, you know, community on his back to try to win for that. I'm just wondering how will he handle that amount of pressure, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he wants to put on for a city.
I wish right now I could just start playing that song, like, immediately as you said that.
But that's what he wants. That's what he wants to do. And I guess like the. I heard. I think it was like a Jalen Rose talking about this, but kind of like the NBA legacy math is that like one ring in Cleveland is worth like 3 or 4 in Miami.
Right. And, because it would be well earned in Cleveland.
Yeah, and actually, you know, let's keep talking about Cleveland. Actually, so Vegas released about a few days ago the projected win total of Cleveland for next year, and right now it's about 49.5, 50 games.
So really,
that's it.
As the roster stands right now,
I would have predicted like. I would think Vegas would put that, like, high 50s. Like, 57, 58 would have been my guess.
I would think, like, 55, 56. Yeah, something along those lines.
But still, like, more than 50.
Yeah.
Rob, what do you think?
I'm going to wait for the Kevin Love move. We'll see where he winds up. But that seems a little low, though. I mean, the best player in the league is on your team, so.
Right. I feel like that automatically gets you, like, wherever you were last year, like, at 20. I mean,
LeBron James, his first time in Cleveland, when he was playing with a even god awful team.
Delonte West.
Delonte West.
Booby Gibson.
Booby Gibson.
that reference.
And a younger Ila Slova. And I mean, it's just like, and that team is winning 55 games a year. And so this team is much better.
Now you have Kyrie
Irving. Andrew Wiggins / Kevin Love.
Right.
You got Tristan Thompson, Deion Waiters.
They got Varejao too, right?
Yeah, yeah, Anderson Varejao, Anthony Bennett. And, I mean, that's a it's not a great team.
No,
it's a much better team.
Team.
And LeBron's a better player than he was now than he was then.
And Kyrie, I'm really curious to see how Kyrie plays. Because we've been talking about, like, I think he's overhyped. Like, his career win percentage is, like, 30, what is it, like, 0.33?
Yeah,
it's something
it's
really
low.
Bad.
Hmm. It's really, really low. And that's kind of one of the biggest questions everyone's asking about. So, you know, let's say it's fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, Cavs down by, like, 3. Who brings the ball out to the court, LeBron or Kyrie?
I think Kyrie wants LeBron to take that. Like, yeah. Kyrie has been the man in Cleveland the past couple of years, and, I mean, it hasn't worked out too well. I think Kyrie's a good player, but I do think he needs someone else.
But
and
Kyrie can't shoot, though. That's the thing.
I would have really thought his – I thought his shooting was going to get better, like, year two, year three, and, like, here we are. I mean –
That's what I think. They got to kind of – I think what's going to happen – whether what should happen is David Blatt should sit down with Kyrie Irving and say, all right, Kyrie, sit down. So talk. You ain't very good at shooting. We got the best player in the league right now on our team.
Get the ball to LeBron.
You're going to be the poor man's Chris Paul. You're only going to shoot the ball if – only because you're creating open looks because people are respecting your passing too much.
You will
outside
be in State
that,
Farm commercials.
Outside of that, you're passing the ball, big dog. You ain't taking any shots.
No, I saw the other day that Ray Allen was leaning towards joining LeBron. Now, if he goes and Kevin Love goes, do you guys think that is a lock for a championship?
I think that's a lock to make it to the finals in the weak East.
Yeah,
the East is so bad.
It's hard. It's definitely there'll be a team to beat in the East. Because also Mike Miller is also on Cleveland right now too.
Right.
So if Ray Allen, Kevin Love, Mike Miller, LeBron James as the addition to that team in the offseason, I think that's definitely a team to beat in the East for sure. Depending on Derrick Rose. Right. Got that, everything kind of, you know, hangs in the balance. What if Derrick Rose is at least like 80% effective? But no, I think it's a team to be in the East. I still can't. The West is just so good.
I know.
It's hard to bet against the West.
That's why I said I think there. If that team was to be assembled, I think they're a lock to get to the finals. At that point, I don't know. I think they would have a decent chance, but the West is just so strong. Like, the fourth team in the West, like, could probably play with, or at least last year, the best team in the East.
So, what are your guys' way too early predictions for the NBA championship game?
I think it's so hard until we see, like Rob said, Kevin Love. Like, that's a huge addition.
Yeah.
Like, if Kevin Love goes to Cleveland, they're my pick, I think.
Let's assume he goes to Cleveland.
Okay. Then I think Cavs over... probably San Antonio. I don't know.
Let's not forget about the Spurs, because they were dominant and with a capital D. So
they were like three times better than the Heat.
If they bring that same lineup, then I can't see anyone beating them, unless if, you know, Cleveland has the super team that we talked about. But
right,
what's the matchup if Cleveland does not get Kevin Love?
Oh man.
Will Cleveland have Wiggins, though?
Yeah, they'll have Wiggins.
Okay.
He's such a question mark, though. Like, we don't know what he's bringing. Right. We know he has this huge ceiling, but, like, right now, I mean, what do you guys think?
I think if Kevin Love, the whole next year does not go to Cleveland, I still think really just Chicago makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals, almost kind of by default. Really.
Yeah.
Cleveland will probably give him a run, but no one else is that good.
I mean, Derrick Rose hasn't been healthy in, like, years.
Since he won the MVP.
Do you, like, when he comes back, how do you think he will be the Derrick Rose we know, or you think he'll be a shell?
It's going to kind of be a cop-out. Somewhere in between.
Yeah, like 80%.
Yeah, I mean, he's had like three knee surgeries in 2 years.
Right.
I mean,
but 80% of Derrick Rose is better than most players in the NBA.
Yeah, that's right. But also his game is explosiveness.
Right.
And, you know, come back from knee is, you know, Adrian Peterson, Russell Westbrook came great from back from knee injuries, but some guys are never the same, and we don't know until we see him on the floor, but I think he'll be 85% optimal.
Yeah. Rob, what's your take?
I mean, it's tough to say, but I mean, I can't imagine he'd be the same Derrick Rose, but the Pau Gasol pickup was pretty big, so,
yes, you know, he could dish
it to the big fella, and then, you know, that'd take care of that.
Yeah, but Pau can't play defense, though.
He cannot.
He is very good on offense. I like Pau.
He's pretty tall. You can't teach that, so.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, you're 7 foot, just you know, as they say, just running chew bubble gum.
Yeah. That's all we need. We'll give you $3 million a year.
Just to run down the court and get in the way. That's all we need to do.
So speaking of big men, Joe, I have to share this with you. Do you remember the And One mixtape tour from when we were like kids?
Yeah, where's this going? We're from Pow to And One.
Well, do you remember Escalade?
Sure.
He was 6'10", 375 pounds. Like, does this sound familiar or no?
No, it kind of, yeah, I remember watching it, so yeah, I guess
so. He was like the biggest guy on the court. Well, Rob and I were doing some hungover Wikipedia-ing, and we found out that he is actually the brother of Mark Jackson.
No kidding.
No, I'm serious.
Fab Five Mark Jackson?
Yes.
Wow,
How crazy is that?
Well, I know Mark Jackson's from Brooklyn, so it makes sense.
Right.
So I guess his brother is also from Brooklyn.
I should probably mention that he passed away 3 years ago, and we just found out today.
We should stop making fun of him then.
Yeah. But damn. I just thought that was really crazy that he's the brother of Mark Jackson.
Yeah, I guess. How old is he?
He was 35 when he died.
Oh, I guess he's like significantly younger than Mark Jackson then.
Right. I just had to, I wanted to tell you that. I don't think it was necessary to tell you on the podcast, but I just got real excited.
No, that's fine. No, that's a little good tidbit of information.
Definitely podcast worthy, I'd say.
Well, thank you.
Speaking of the N1 mixtape tour, I read a really great, I think it was on Grantland actually, a great article about the professor.
Oh, we were talking about him professor. Today.
The white dude.
The,
was really
the
good
token white dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of how the story, like, after, like, you know, N1 mixtape tour, he kind of wound down from it. He tried to get into the league and tried to go to the NBA Dream League, and he struggled with that, and he never obviously made it. But it was a very interesting story and kind of what he's doing now and everything.
So where is he now?
He's, like, coaching basketball somewhere.
Okay.
Substitute teacher at the local high school.
I think that's what he's doing.
Nailed it.
And but no,
the professor, get it, the teacher.
I saw what I did.
Who are the other guys on the animal mixtape? There's
hot sauce.
Helicopter,
Escalade, helicopter.
Yeah, helicopter. Yep,
helicopter.
The best was the announcer. The whole game.
Oh yeah, he would be on the court. Oh. It's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, baby. With his towel, remember that?
Yeah, you're setting a pick. Like, what are you doing?
I remember watching a come home. I think maybe I want to say middle school, like 2004, five-ish. Yep. Like, coming home from school or from practice, and, like, on 4 o'clock, and turning on ESPN, or ESPN2, actually.
Yep.
And seeing definitely on regular ESPN. And watching the N1 mixtape tour.
And dude, do you remember Slam Ball on Spike TV? The basketball league with the trampolines?
It's still a thing.
Nuh-uh.
I mean, it's not broadcast anymore, but it's still a thing.
Oh, I miss that league.
Yeah.
Do you, though?
And
I don't know.
The mid-2000s is a weird time. Between that and the XFL.
I went to a game.
You did?
Can't say that enough. A New Jersey Hitman game. I went with my dad and some other kids on the Pop Warner team. It was awesome.
What are the rules from the XFL again? I forgot.
There are no rules.
Yeah, there's like no halo rule for the, like, no fair catches either.
No fair catches. Like, the players were mic'd up like all the time. So if you're watching on TV, like, you would hear the play. Instead of doing a coin toss, they would put the ball in the middle of the field.
Oh, yeah, that's
and,
right.
Like, they would just sprint
you
into
have
concussion
a fist fight
city.
For it.
Like, it was so crazy. And, like, the cheerleaders, like, it looked like they were required to get, like, boob implants. Like, it was just, like, that type of league.
And they could like, celebrate as much as they could.
They could put whatever they wanted on the back of the jersey. That's where He Hate Me came from.
Shout out to He Hate Me.
Big and, show.
Hey, how about this tidbit? You know how I'm full of, like, random facts? Well, I know He Hate Me's real name.
What's that?
Rod Smart. And he was actually in the league for a little bit returning kicks.
That's right, he was.
Yep.
Because he would say, it's He Hate Me.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. The XFL, good times.
No, I think they should promote the XFL just to have it some other entity besides football. Because that's NFL is trending to kind of taking away all the fun and action out of the game.
Right.
It's key to the XFL just as a comparison. So the NFL is going to go completely, like, just soft, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
How bad do you think his teammates ragged on him, though, in the locker room for calling himself He Hate Me? Probably
like,
relentless.
Oh, God, so much so. I wonder how much this guy's actually, like, bought into the whole, like, gimmick of it, you know?
Right.
Hopefully not at all.
Yeah, probably. I'm just trying to click the check.
Yeah, I mean, probably. But I mean, one of the cool things being from Jersey was, like, we had a team.
We did.
So, like, I mean... The Giants and Jets play in New Jersey at the Meadowlands, but they're still called New York, so, like, we never really had our team. So
the Cowboys don't play in Dallas.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, but that was just – it was cool. It only lasted, what, 2 seasons?
Nope.
Maybe
just one. Just one. That's it.
Well,
just one.
Well, that makes my experience even cooler.
Yeah, I remember, you know, they had the XFL balls too.
Yeah, they were, like, black and red.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we should bring it back. So, anyway, we should probably talk about sports that are still alive.
Now that we're completely off topic. Hey, Rob, I know you wanted to talk some fantasy football.
Okay, fantasy football talk. Let's talk running backs. You know, that's your first pick. Jamaal Charles got paid. How do you guys feel about drafting him number one? Are you taking him or not?
As my number one running back or number one overall?
Number one first pick.
No. No, I don't.
Yeah. Go ahead.
When we go first, who I take first,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah, you go first.
I don't like saying this. I don't want to say it.
Uh-oh.
It hurts me. Joe, you probably know where I'm going with this.
Oh, no.
I'm going to take Shady.
I knew you were... Joe, I trusted you.
I know. I'm a traitor. I know.
Dude, Shady McCoy for the Philadelphia freaking Eagles. He's so good, but I hate the Eagles so much. I can't take it. I wouldn't be able to take him. I'm serious. Give me Jamaal Charles.
Just out of spite.
Out of spite. I hate Philadelphia. Give me Jamaal Charles.
Rob, you take.
Rob takes Danny Woodhead.
Danny Woodhead is my boy, but
I do love Danny Woodhead. Oh, fun fact: he won the Division II equivalent of the Heisman 3 times. All right, go ahead, Rob.
Cool.
Who am I taking first? How do you guys feel about Doug Martin? He was a huge star last year, total dud. Dude, will he bounce back this year?
Down here in Tampa, they love Doug Martin. Yeah. I wouldn't take him with my first overall, but I definitely would try to get him on my team. I think Lovie Smith is doing some really good things down here. And the Dunkineers, as they're calling them, they have like 2 receivers, 6'5 and over. They got Mike Evans. They're going to be passing a ton, and I think that's really going to open it up for Doug Martin. What say you, Joe?
I mean, I think, you know, he's going to have a better year because, you know, he's not in a Greg Schiano's archaic offensive system anymore. So, I mean, that's
Rutgers alum.
Yeah.
Rutgers great.
Yeah, where's Shiano now, actually? Is he?
That's a good question.
Whatever, I don't care.
He's teaching at the same school the professor's at.
But, I mean, I think he'll have an improvement. I think he'll have a better year. I mean, he has to go against the Carolina defense twice a year.
Right.
And that's not easy. That definitely kind of curtails his production. But that being said, I'm still taking LeSean McCoy first.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Where are you putting Adrian Peterson? Like, on your list of running backs, where would he rank?
2.
Yeah? Like, a real close to?
A real close. Yes. Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen the projections. Rob, have you? Because they normally release, like, the projected values of all the fantasy players.
I haven't yet, but, man, it's tough to take someone over him. I mean, like, you saw what he did last year with a bum leg, and he still was dominant, you know?
I would probably take AP over Jamaal Charles, now that I think about it. I would probably – my order would probably go AP, Jamaal Charles, and then, like, Shady if I had no self-respect. But, like,
hey,
I mean, you got to win. Yeah, I guess it depends if it's a money league, but that's probably where – like you said, Rob, how do you pass up Adrian Peterson?
That'd be tough. I mean, I think the quarterback situation there will impact it. I mean, I don't know, the train wreck that is there.
I would
definitely
try to get Teddy Bridgewater on my team, though. I definitely think he could start playing. I mean, if he's not starting immediately, I think game like 5-6, you might see him in there, and I like Bridgewater. I think he will be a good pro, so I would want him in my arsenal.
As a backup.
Right. He wouldn't be my starting quarterback, but I would want him on my team, so if he does blow up, I have him.
Yeah, no, that's true. But that being said about Shady, though, is I hate saying this so much, but I just like the system he plays in. He's a feature in the rushing and passing game.
Who are you?
I'm fair and balanced. I'm just saying it is as an objective reporter.
Now, the Eagles are scary. That's the worst part. Like, they're a legitimate threat this year. That's the worst part.
No, they're not.
You don't think so?
No, because they lost their best receiver.
Deshaun?
Deshaun, yeah.
The thing for me with Deshaun is he's a one-trick pony. Okay, he can run the fly route.
And return kicks, too.
Right. Okay. He's got two tricks.
Two trick pony.
And he can catch really well, and he can burn about any defensive back in the league. That's
right.
To
right.
Do.
But you rotate.
And he's gonna play with the Redskins with Archie III as a big arm, and like throwing deep, like
right.
in that Baylor.
I'm just saying, I'll take other receivers. Like I'll take Jordy Nelson, who just signed a massive deal.
Oh, get the hell out of here! No, you won't. No, you would
dude,
not.
Dude, at least Jordy Nelson will run
no,
other routes.
Jordy Nelson is a system as a system receiver. There, I said it.
I don't know like who I'm talking to right now.
So you would take Jordy Nelson over DeSean Jackson.
Well, now that DeSean's on the Redskins, I hate him less. I don't
so
know.
So would you take Jordy Nelson over Calvin Johnson?
Dude, here's the thing. Like if we're talking fantasy, Jordy Nelson puts up massive numbers.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson puts up better ones.
I don't know if he does. I'd like to pull up those stats from last year.
I mean, the thing with the Packers, though, I feel like Aaron Rodgers has a dartboard with all the receivers. He throws a dart. He's like, all right, I'm going to throw to that guy 47 times today.
Yeah,
kind of
like the Patriots do that, too. It works.
Yeah,
it's feast or famine with him, though, you know?
Right.
I still think you can't put Jordy Nelson above DeSean Jackson. There's no way.
Let's
DeSean
not
Jackson's
get silly.
A top 10 receiver.
Yeah,
Jordy Nelson is not.
I agree that he's a top 10 receiver.
So why would you draft Jordy Nelson over him?
Are we talking... all right, hold on. I'm looking up some stats. Wow.
I mean, I'll take Cobb over Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb, you know?
Randall Cobb. All right.
Joe, I think you're wrong.
I mean, this is just my opinion. But we know I hate the Eagles. I mean, I know he's on the Redskins, but he's still
he's
in the division.
I don't care, man. All I care about is winning. I draft all the Eagles if they're all good. I don't give a shit. All
right, hold on. So, last year, DeSean Jackson, 1,300 yards receiving.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, and 9 receiving touchdowns.
Okay.
All right, now let me look up Jordy. Oh, and by the way, DeSean Jackson's 40 time, 4.35.
It's pretty good.
That's what's the sound barrier?
4.24.
All right, let's see. Jordy all right. Nelson.
Real quick while you're looking that up, shot out of a cannon, what will you draft Manziel, and if so, what round?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a really good question, actually, because holy crap.
Okay, wait. Jordy Nelson, 1,314 yards, 8 receiving touchdowns.
Boom, DeSean Jackson's better.
Identical stats. Basically identical
right.
stats.
Nope. No, they're not.
Why? Because he has one more touchdown?
That's right.
Because the Packers were up by so much, they took Jordy Nelson out?
Don't care.
I'm just saying, they're comparable. Okay, go on with your Manziel.
They're not at all, but okay.
All
anyway.
Right. Back to Manziel.
Where would I draft him, if at all? I would take... God damn. As of right now... I'm going to kind of sound like a hypocrite. I would not draft Johnny Manziel because as of now, he's not the starting quarterback. Because actually, Pat made a really good point about the Browns last week as well, is that, you know, Brian Hoyer is a quarterback. He's a Cleveland guy. He actually went to Pat's high school.
Right.
And, and he's well-respected. And, like, Manziel is going to have to fight hard to take his spot, his opening day spot, and I don't think he's going to do that. So I would not draft Manziel.
But isn't he one of those guys you would want? Like I said, Bridgewater, like, you know, you...
Well, Bridgewater's going to start.
Yeah.
Christian Ponder isn't going to be starting anymore.
Florida State alum.
Sam Ponder, though.
RG3 went super late his first year. And you can see how well that paid off. So, I mean, it's
but
not a bad pick.
Speaking of knees.
Then. I wouldn't draft him.
Right. So you would... But someone would take him. I wonder... For the mock drafts, like where he's going.
Late. He's not a starter right now.
Right, but
and we haven't seen him perform at camp. And I mean I would not take him. I mean, I put him on my watch list as a waiver wire guy, but I wouldn't draft him right now. No.
So you don't think
I would take him really late.
So he has the number one jersey sale, so you really don't think he's going to start? I mean, I think they'd be crazy not to start.
I'm going off what I know, and so talking to Pat, who has his – he's very, very much a Browns fan. Knows the Browns way better than all of us combined.
And he says, it's going to take a Herculean effort from Manziel to take over Hoyer's starting spot this year. And to start the year.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like game five or six, like
I think. Yeah. But I mean, I don't want to have a guy who's not. I don't want to waste a draft pick on a guy in terms of player value, on a guy who is not going to play the first, you know, maybe five or six games.
Well, that's why I'm saying I would take him late, like last couple rounds. If he's still on the board, I absolutely take him. Just so if he blows up.
I wouldn't want to. I don't. Maybe I'm playing it safe.
You don't want the distraction on your fantasy football team.
I only want character players on my fantasy team. I want team first guys. But seriously though, no, I would not want to waste. I don't want to say it kind of sounds harsh, but I want a guy I know who's gonna be playing right away on my roster than a guy who may not.
Okay.
And I don't want to waste a roster spot.
Now, how short do you think Hoyer's leash is gonna be for the season?
I think it's short. I think it's like I said, like 4 or 5 games. Like I think that's his leash. If they're 4-1, he's fine. 3-2, he's probably okay. But if they're 2-3, I think Manziel's in.
I'd say I would get 6 games in. If it's like 2-4, then I think Manziel's in.
Yeah.
Now, could you see something happening like with the Jets when Sanchez was throwing the interceptions? Everyone was chanting Tebow. I could see that Manziel, you know, everyone right. chanting his name, you know?
The only thing is Hoyer's a hometown guy.
He's a Cleveland guy.
That's the only thing. Otherwise, I think that would happen, Rob.
And said, according to Pat, he's very, very much loved and respected, Hoyer is, in Cleveland, and people are getting very kind of weary about Manziel. So I don't think you will hear that as much. Because, I mean, also, I think Brian Hoyer is much better than Mark Sanchez, but it's just...
Well. A lot of people are a lot better than Mark Sanchez. So.
I think I'm better than Mark Sanchez.
Oh, man. Well, anything else we wanted to hit on? No pun intended, Ray Rice.
I think actually I'll bring up just one story that I think it's actually very, very interesting.
Okay.
So there's – I forgot his name already. This is really bad. I'm already losing it. SMU basketball players commit to SMU, number 5th overall, actually out of Prime Academy, Prime Times Charter School. Oh. In Dallas. Yeah,
that's what it's called? It's called Prime Academy?
That's right.
That's badass.
Yeah, it is. And, well, also apparently bad at academics, too, for charter school.
Oh, yeah, so, but I heard... Okay, go ahead. I heard there was, like, some corruption, but, like, Dion wasn't involved. Like, it was other people.
Dion's more about the football team. He doesn't really care about the academics. But anyway, so he's fit to SMU, you know, stay in Dallas. And then apparently his grades may not be good enough for anything or whatever. Something happened. So he, you know, he took his name out of, you know, he decommitted from SMU and he signed a 1-year, $1.2 million contract to play in China for a year. And after that 1 year is done, he will go to the draft, which he'll probably be a lottery pick, and, you know, all will be well. And now this brings this whole kind of question is it better for a top prospect, who's the number 5 prospect in the country, to play a year overseas and get some money, you know, help out the fam back home, or go play a year or two in college? So, you know, that kind of leads to a whole kind of ethical argument of, like, what do you think is the better choice? Go to college for a year and go pro, or play overseas for a year and get paid and go pro? I think the choice is obvious for me.
What do you think the choice is?
Oh, I think if you come from like an impoverished area, you go for a year and get paid. You keep getting them checks.
Yeah. Joe, his name is Emmanuel Mudiay.
That's what it was. Yeah, Emmanuel is Mudiay. That's what his name. But that's why I think you go and get them checks. But that's not really the thing I want to talk about, though. What I think is a really great point. Jalen Rose. I'm a very huge Jalen Rose fan. You know, he has his own charter school in Detroit, where he's from, Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, JLRA. I'm a big supporter of it. Go there, buy a shirt, help the cause. Since I was a public policy major in college, and I focused on educational policy, so I'm really I like that he, you know, gets back as, you know, in charter school in inner city Detroit. Anyway, he made this great point on his podcast about players going overseas and trying to keep players in college, not only for a year, but they really value their education. He says colleges should create a new major not just for athletes, just in general, a sports major, where you learn about marketing, analytics, the data management of a stadium, and stadium operations, and all that, and personal and finance management. I think he was saying if colleges create that kind of program, it'll be very, it'll definitely keep more incentive for players not only to go to college, but stay in college and get a degree, so they can stay in this, be really productive in the sport after they're done playing. So they're not just kind of grunts there playing sport and leaving. So I think that's a really, really great idea. And I'm kind of like your guys' thought on that.
Rob, go ahead.
I think that's a great idea, but will that actually happen? I'm not sure. Because, like you said, with the checks, I mean, is that worth it? I mean, no one's, you know, these are young kids. Like, I'd hate to see that happen, but, I mean, they're not thinking down the road. They're thinking, you know, and so that'd be tough.
Who wants to live in China for a year?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, I get it. I get the whole idea. Like, I need to help my family. Like, I respect that. But, I mean, I like Jalen's idea. Like Rob said, you know, can we apply it now? Is it practical? Can we make this happen? If so, I'm all for it.
I mean, I think it could happen. Will it be like the, you know, actually solve the problem? Of course not.
No,
I
won't. You'll never completely solve the problem.
No, but no. It would help a lot, especially now the rule is that, I mean, I personally think, yeah, a player in high school, he should go to NBA regularly if he wants to. But if we're going to keep him, make him go to college, might as well try to keep them there and try to educate these kids as much as they can while they're there. And creating a sports major would really be helpful for them. And also non-athletes, too. It would be a really cool thing to study.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they have similar programs now that, like, he's talking about, but it's not very, like, it's not offered at, like, every school. So
yeah.
Yeah, very cool. I like the idea.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great idea. It'd be good for the kids, you know, keep them in school, good for society. Everybody wins.
Now, how do you guys feel about just paying the athletes that are in school?
No.
I'm against it.
I'm against that completely.
Because they're already getting, you know, $100,000 education, whether they choose to use it or not.
Did you hear Jameis Winston, what he said?
No.
He said he believes college athletes should not be paid.
Oh, actually. Really? See, now that's yes. Funny how I didn't hear about that, but I heard about Shabazz Napier. Okay, what did he say?
He said, my education and what I receive at Florida State University is enough for me, and he doesn't want anything to please that paying college athletes is, you know, it takes away from the game, and said the education and the benefits that they receive as student athletes on these campuses is enough.
Wow, that's pretty cool to hear. Actually, you actually gained a little bit more of my respect back from stealing crab legs.
And, you know, raping girls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not to mention that.
Yeah, right. the bigger thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to say, like, I thought that when I heard that, I'm like, that's a really great idea to try to, you know, keep kids in school, at least make them learn something they want to learn.
Right.
You know?
No, I like that.
Not having them pick a major that they're not really interested in. Something that actually they can use in their life.
Right.
Because their lives are different than ours.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, that's my take on it.
Yeah, I'm glad you, talked about that. Rob, do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
Not really. Oh, thank you guys for having me. I had a great time.
Oh, letting
you
know that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And, so I guess we're good, right? Joe, you good? You want
we're good.
Anything else?
Yeah. I mean, sorry for guys waiting like about a month for a new podcast.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, we did try. We
tried hard.
And
hopefully this works.
Yeah. Oh, man. So if you're hearing this right now, that's good because I'm actually kind of nervous.
Me too.
All right. Until next time. Peace out, world.
All right. See y'all.
This has been a presentation of Two Joes and a Show. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and like the show on Facebook. Peace out, gangsters.